Chapter 9. Sleeping in the Mist. I'm standing in the doorway of my neighbor's house, looking into their living room. I didn't actually walk in, I just stood there. Off to the left of the room, there was a side door that remained open. Standing there, I could see out that door and notice a few dogs barking and running towards that side entrance. These dogs were far from friendly and were growling at me. Their fangs were visible as they curled up their lips with wicked demeanor. They were drooling from the mouth and really angry because they couldn't walk in the door. It was as if an invisible barrier kept them at bay. I became a bit concerned before realizing they weren't able to enter the house to attack me. I turned my head and looked straight down the house where you could see into the kitchen. There, I saw a pair of friendly golden retrievers wagging their tails as they just stood there looking at me. I turned my head back to the side entrance and noticed that the aggressive canines were no longer there. I decided to turn around and leave my neighbor's home as I wanted to go back to my house just next door. I began to walk up the street alongside the lawn because there was no sidewalk. As I approached my house, I noticed it was sitting on top of a small hill, which elevated the property above the main road. There was also a retaining wall that held up this hill. This wall was built extremely well and was strong. It must have been 4 feet wide, and each stone was a large-sized boulder that stacked up on top of each other, making the wall roughly 5 feet tall. I walked up the pathway to my house, leading up the few steps that are there, and onto the top landing in front of my door. From the top landing, I turned around and faced the street, looking directly in front of my house. I had the perfect view from my higher position. I saw my mother laying on a bed in the middle of the road, and my sister sat by her head, caring for her. She was stroking her hair in a compassionate manner. It suddenly started to mist, light rain bringing on a sense of refreshment and peace to us. I felt calm and relaxed as I waved to them the signal to come into my house. My sister then helped our mom off of the bed and walked her up my front steps, making their way into my home. A week before I had this dream, I was completely broken inside and out over my mom, and I was filled with uncertainty, the biggest question being, why again? My mother had been in Sloan for 2 days, and my family and I were eagerly awaiting her bone marrow test results so the doctors could determine which type of leukemia she had. This was important, since it would dictate the type of treatment she would receive. This was a very nerve-wracking time, waiting for the results. My father was completely overcome by fear and depression in a way I've never seen before. He stopped eating, and I literally would have to force him to eat his meals. His diabetes really worried me, as I didn't want him to faint from low sugar levels. To add insult to injury, his toe wasn't getting any better, even after they cut half of it off. His condition was really taking a toll on me, as it was pressure of my father's health versus pressure of my mother's health, stacked on top of each other and happening simultaneously. My brother, who was always a mama's boy, was now feeling lost and feared losing his mother. I never saw him pray so hard in my life. Every time I looked at him, I saw the little boy who always clung to her hip and couldn't sleep without her at night. My sister, who was saved by Christ, is surely one of the strongest women I know. She too was concerned, but held herself together better than the rest of us. She never lost hope. She understood what our mom was going through more than anyone else in my family. During this time, she and my wife both took the role of caring for my father and brother, in addition to their children and husbands, and they would both bring a warm meal for them every day without missing a beat. My wife was my rock. She never stopped encouraging me. She kept me from getting sucked into a very bad downward spiral. She would remind me of everything God has done for me in the past. My youngest sister was studying for the biggest test of her life, the bar exam, which is a written test, in order to become licensed to practice law. She was torn between being able to stay focused on her studies and worrying about her mother. My sister, who lives in California, was completely distraught over Mom, since she couldn't travel to New York because of the pandemic. She called us for updates regarding Mom's condition non-stop throughout the day. My entire family was emotionally exhausted. My dad continued to pray for his wife and never gave up on God. None of us gave up on God, as we all continued to pray for her recovery. Although we had unanswered questions, we kept our faith. The day came when my phone rang with a New York City phone number on my caller ID, just as I was pulling into my driveway. I knew it was Sloan. I was eagerly awaiting their call. I couldn't answer the phone fast enough that day. I wanted the confirmation of what type of leukemia she had so they could quickly begin treatment on her. After answering the phone, my jaw dropped in complete disbelief from what the doctor was telling me. He said that the entire test wasn't back yet and that it would take another day or so. They only had the preliminary results of her bone marrow test. From what they saw, it looked like my mom had two types of leukemia cells growing, which is extremely rare. They said she had acute myeloid leukemia, AML, and acute lymphoblastic leukemia, ALL, and that her chances of survival were about 15% with an aggressive treatment. I hung up the phone and went into hysterics. The thought of losing her and her unawareness of the severity of her condition crushed me even harder. I didn't know what to say to my father and the rest of my family. My wife came running out of the house to the sound of my cries. She asked what was wrong, and when I told her, she immediately covered her mouth with both hands, after she dropped her jaw in absolute shock and disbelief. Realizing her reaction wasn't going to be helpful to me in that moment, she quickly switched her attitude, encouraging me back to my faith. There really wasn't anything else she could have done at that moment. The entire time that we were outside, I was screaming at God and asking Him for a sign that my mother was going to be okay. I demanded over and over to see a white dove land in front of me. That was the only thing I wanted as confirmation. It was a specific request. I wanted the opposite of the black vulture that came to me in that dream. I didn't tell my father about this new revelation in her diagnosis, as it would have immediately crushed him. My brother and my sister, who was saved by Christ, were the only two besides my wife who knew. My sister, who was studying for a bar exam, didn't need to know at that moment. Everything she had been working for her entire life was just a few weeks away. My sister in California was kept out of this one for her own sanity. She knew her mom wasn't well, but didn't need the extra anxiety since she couldn't travel to see her. For the ones who knew, we questioned God even more now. We asked, why make it this severe with two types? It kept getting harder and harder to maintain our faith in God, but even though it was difficult, we never quit on Him. We kept believing through all our doubts and questions. We trusted Him to deliver us from this storm as He always had in the past. The next day at around 8 p.m., I called the deacon from our church because I consider him my spiritual mentor. I have this high regard for him because he gave me my first Bible 7 years prior, the first Bible I ever read in its entirety. He always showed me that he cared and was deeply sincere. I asked him if I could come to his house and told him that I wasn't doing very well and I needed to talk to him. He welcomed me to visit his home and waited for my arrival. When I got to his house, he brought me inside and we both walked into the living room and sat down. He was home alone that night because his wife and children, who are grown, were away. I immediately broke down crying to him as I was asking, "Why again? Why so severe this time?" He didn't really have an answer for me, but tried his best to do so with the Word of God. He knew I was tired emotionally and spiritually and just needed someone to simply listen to me. The deacon was aware of the fact that I was pretty well versed in the Scriptures and understood that I heard it all before, but continued to give me his word in the chance that something comforting would resonate with me, that it may have slipped my mind. He led me to pray on my own. That night, sitting in his living room, I wept to God like a child, as I poured my heart out to him. All the feelings that were boiling up in my chest for the past 2 weeks just came gushing out as I completely surrendered to God. I continued weeping to the Lord for an hour, the most intense conversation I had with God since the beginning of my mother's diagnosis. It was as intense and sincere as the weeping I did for my son at St. John's Church in New York City nearly 7 years ago. When my tears couldn't fall from me anymore, I knew I was done. I got up, thanked the deacon, and went home for the night as it was nearly 10 p.m. and I was pretty exhausted and needed to sleep. The next day I woke up from the dream of sleeping in the mist. As soon as I opened my eyes, I felt like a fearless lion. There was a new strength in me that morning. I lost something that had been weakening me for years. A heavy weight was off my chest. Finally, I fully trusted God. I didn't fear. I could look cancer in the eyes and tell it, "You don't scare me anymore." I felt great about my mother, as all fear about cancer and her condition had been completely removed from my most inner being. I didn't care what the doctor told me about her cancer type. I knew that morning that God had the final say in what happened next. I continued that day in that renewed and liberated mindset. All my stress had vanished after last night's cry out to God, literally vanished overnight. I knew that my help came from the Lord, Maker of heaven and earth. Everything I'd been through had now come together so that the finished work of God could blossom in an instant. Later that day, I got a call from Sloan. It was my mother's doctor. "Hello, Mr. Neshawat. It's your mom's physician at Memorial Sloan Kettering." "Yes, hi, doctor. Is everything okay?" I casually asked. "Yes, absolutely. I want to give you some good news. Your mother's full bone marrow biopsy has come back, and fortunately, our initial thoughts on her leukemia were wrong. She just has AML, and we will start her treatment tomorrow. Your mom will be okay. Her chances are drastically better than we initially thought." "Thank you, doctor, for the good news. I'll be down there tomorrow to visit her." I hung up the phone, and with the biggest smile and tears of joy running down my face, I started worshiping God. The devil was a liar. He manipulated the situation with inaccuracy to encourage fear and not hope. The doctors are human. The preliminary biopsy report is never the full story and should never be taken as a 100% completed report. We could have lost hope in the very last moments before our breakthrough by allowing fear to consume us. Shortly after this, my mother went into remission after the first day of chemotherapy, and she responded in textbook fashion to the treatment. She even had a robust recovery after all the chemo was complete. My sister, the lawyer, picked her up from Sloan and brought her home after only 1 month of being in the hospital. God's divine favor didn't just stop there. My mother has one brother and 6 sisters, all who live overseas, except for 1 sister who lives here in the United States. They all did the DNA swabs for a stem cell match. We mailed 5 test kits overseas and 1 to my aunt here in America. The one that was a perfect 10 out of 10 match was her sister who was a few hours away, as God made sure there were no delays for her transplant. Although my father ended up having his entire toe removed, it was the best thing for him, since the infection in his toe could have spread to his leg, which could have resulted in leg amputation. He's doing well now, and walking around in his favorite shoes, just like he did before the infection. He too was blessed, as it was the 3rd toe in the middle, which didn't affect his walking at all. Since this occurrence with him, he has been more careful with himself and tries to live a healthier lifestyle than before. My sister, who was saved by Christ, is doing great and is focused on her family. My eldest son is as vibrant and healthy as any other child his age and continues to draw everything he can. When God's healing hand touches someone, there isn't a force on earth or beyond it that can reverse it or take it away. And suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that hour. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. We had a family friend insist that we test our water. She works at a water testing facility and offered to do it for us. We took the empty cylinders from her and filled it with tap water from the sinks throughout my parents' house. Several days later, she called me up, and as she gave me the results of her findings, I was in shock. My parents' water had 3 times the level of a chemical called benzene in it. Benzene causes AML. The type that all 3, my mom, sister, and son had. After further investigation, It dawned on me that the heating oil tank was buried underground, adjacent to the main water line that entered the house. My mother used the tap water for everything, from washing dishes and cooking to brewing coffee for the family. We all visited them daily and ate there constantly, and when we didn't come over for a day, my mother would send some of her cooking to our homes. We all have been exposed to benzene for years. Fortunately, it ended the way it did. I removed the oil tank from the ground and installed propane instead. I completely relocated the position of the new tank and rerouted the lines away from the main water feed into the house. Indeed, God revealed to me the source that the enemy used to torture us for so long. What the enemy used for destruction, God used for construction. The storm always rages the strongest just before your breakthrough. It's the enemy's last attempt to keep you from receiving your miracle, your answered prayer, your only escape to the new beginning that awaits you. The enemy wants you trapped and within his grip, to control you with fear and have you lose all hope in God. The mind is Satan's playground. This war has become much clearer now. I saw the lies and deception one too many times. But now I'm free forever. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. The fear that haunted me for so long is no longer there. I knew with all my heart that my mom was already healed before she started her chemotherapy. I knew the ending of the story. I am finally liberated because I conquered those thoughts of terror. I just graduated from spiritual warfare college. It took God one last trial of this kind to accomplish what he needed to complete my family's faith and mine, and that was to eliminate fear. Fear is also known as feelings equivocating actual reality. These are feelings that pose as real when they are not, just your perception of what is real. You must face your fears in order to overcome them. Being bound to your fears will shackle you for the rest of your life. I am now truly fearless and filled with hope for tomorrow, because I know who my God is today. One who doesn't break a promise, and one who will never leave my side or abandon me, regardless of how much I wrestle with him. The Lord promised my sister and son would never be afflicted again, which is a promise he never broke. He never mentioned anyone else in my family. Now he promised me to never let cancer come upon anyone in my family again, and that it is finished. The day after the call with my mother's doctor giving me the final results of her bone marrow biopsy, my brother and I drove down to see her at Sloan. That day, the Lord gave me the sign I specifically requested a week prior. My brother was driving, and I sat in the passenger seat next to him. Gospel music was playing on the car stereo, and my brother and I felt confidence and joy that could only come from God. In the midst of our conversation, I was looking out the windshield, gazing at the trees that we were passing at 75 miles per hour. I noticed this brilliant white thing off to my right, about 50 yards ahead of our car. The closer we approached this white bird, the more it caught my attention. The brilliance of its white feathers reflected the sun as a mirror would. Before I knew it, my brother started to notice this starkly white bird flapping its wings as it started to take flight from the tree it was in and head directly towards our car. My brother swerved the car back and forth while pumping the brakes in the middle lane of the highway. His reaction to slow down was because it felt as if we were going to drive into the back of this bird. It purposely chose to skydive to the middle lane, which we were in, and fly in front of us just above our windshield. He yelled at me to quickly grab my phone and record it, but I was too fascinated with this dove and the brilliance it radiated. I didn't dare take my eyes off it to search for my phone. The dove flew just over our car, about 20 feet ahead of us in the middle lane, and continued to fly over us for about 30 seconds before it sped off and vanished. In case you didn't know, doves fly at a maximum speed of 55 miles per hour, but we were driving at least 75 miles per hour, and even after we slowed down a bit, we quickly resumed speed to tail this beautiful bird. We could barely keep up with it before it took off from in front of us at what seemed to be jet-like speed and disappeared into the far distance. This was one of the most amazing things I have ever experienced from God. He took me as I am and answered my very specific request. I smiled and knew in my heart that God just showed me the white dove that I explicitly asked for when I demanded confirmation a week ago.